Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Our text for meditation this morning comes from the Gospel according to St. John, the 11th chapter, which you heard read earlier. We live in a world without limits. You can purchase a car, but there's a limit how far you can drive until you need to fill it back up with fuel. There's a limit how far you can go until you change the oil, lest the engine freeze up. There is a limit to how long each part on the car will last before it has to be replaced. And our bodies are very much the same way. As you age, you find that your original equipment that you were supplied at birth does not operate as it once did. Physical tasks that were once simple and natural become more difficult, sometimes almost impossible to accomplish. Regardless of how healthy you eat and how much you exercise, your body has limits. It's going to wear out and die. Everything has limits. Well, except for Jesus. He has no limits. He is not bound by time and space, and he is certainly not bound by death. In our gospel reading this morning, Mary's brother Lazarus died due to the sin inherited by all mankind from our ancestor Adam. Unless Jesus returns really soon, you and me and everyone else in the world will die. You can check it out on the internet. I believe the mortality rate is right about 100% of all who die. Every life will reach its limit. As our text begins, Lazarus was ill. So his sister sent word to Jesus that the one whom he loved as his own brother was ill. They knew Jesus had the power to intervene. He has the power to give sight to the blind, to make the lame walk, even heal the sick and the leper. Jesus had already performed many, many, many miracles and signs. Mary and Martha know he's the one who can help. But for Jesus' good friend Lazarus, he does nothing. Jesus says this illness does not lead to death, for it is for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Jesus has no limits. He is neither bound by death's timetable nor death itself. And as we heard in the gospel reading last week, we heard that Jesus healed the blind man in order that God's glory might be revealed through that man, through that miracle. And so too with the raising of Lazarus. As we heard in our Old Testament lesson, God was not bound by dry bones in the desert because God is not bound by death. It is in death that God does his greatest work. It is in facing death that Jesus is triumphant over death. Jesus' time is short. He has an appointment with death on the cross, and it is coming near. He could have healed Lazarus from far away, as he did with the centurion's servant, but Jesus waited. He wanted to go personally. He waited two whole days before beginning his way to Judea, where the Jews were laying in wait. They wished to put him to death. Jesus' disciples believe Lazarus is merely sleeping. So Jesus tells his disciples plainly, Lazarus has died, and for your sake, I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. Raising Lazarus's body, which had been laying in the tomb for so long, it has already begun to decay. Yet this would become Jesus' crowning miracle, although it would be merely a prelude to God raising his own son from the dead. Raising Lazarus is a chance for people to recognize who Jesus is, that he is the Christ, the Son of God himself, in the flesh of man. It would give the people a chance to give glory to God before Jesus himself faces and conquers death. Upon hearing that Jesus is coming, Martha runs out to meet him. And there's no question in her mind who Jesus is. But like our vehicles and our bodies, Martha's faith has limits, just as your faith and mine has limits. Like those times that you pray without really expecting an answer, or when you pray and you believe that your prayer has gone unanswered. But the fact is, God always listens to your prayers, and he does answer them. Sometimes his answer is yes, sometimes his answer is no. Unfortunately, sometimes in his loving wisdom, he hides his face and demands that we wait. Sometimes we must weep. Sometimes we must lament, or even mourn. Jesus tells Martha that her brother Lazarus will be raised from the dead, but she's confused. She's thinking Jesus is talking about the resurrection on the last day. And it only makes sense, even today, you too gather around family and friends, surround them in their grief when a loved one has died, and encourage them in the hope of the resurrection on the last day, knowing that all will be raised, those who die in Christ. But at this point, Jesus declares to Martha exactly who he is. Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." This is one of the seven I am statements that St. John records in his gospel. Seven I am statements of Jesus. The Jewish people of Jesus' day know exactly what he is claiming when he says this. When Jesus says, "I am," he is saying he is God. He is God in the flesh. He's saying that he himself is the literal resurrection. He is the literal life. The resurrection and life are not two separate concepts when it comes to Jesus. They are one just as Jesus is one. No resurrection and no life exist apart from Christ. When he is absent, resurrection and life are absent. But when he is present, there resurrection and life are present. Now, believing in Jesus does not relieve you and I of a temporal death. But we do know that Jesus is not bound by death's timetable or death itself. Our ordinary mortal lives will fade away. But the life that Jesus gives never ends. And it is in that sense that whoever lives and believes in Jesus will never die. Anyone who has lost a close loved one knows the pain and the sorrow that death brings. When Jesus arrives at the tomb and sees Mary and all the Jews weeping, he's deeply moved within his spirit and greatly troubled. Because of the sins of mankind, Jesus is moved to tears. He knows that it was not created to be this way, but sin came into the world. And he sees these painful effects and of death and sin, the effects they have on Lazarus and on Mary and Martha and all those gathered grieving. He sees the effects that sin has on you, and he weeps. He does not weep because he is a weakling or he is a softy or he has regrets. Jesus' tears are grounded in compassion and love for all mankind. He knows that you and I are dead in our trespasses, and like Lazarus, we are unable to save ourselves from death. So Jesus prays aloud so the crowd would know that he is conversing with the Father in heaven, and that the Father had sent him. And at Jesus' command, Lazarus comes out of the tomb, wrapped in his burial linens. 4 days in the tomb. Decomposition had set in. But 4 days of death and decomposition are no match for Jesus, who is the resurrection and the life, which he gave to Lazarus. It's a miracle that causes Jesus' enemies to move forward with their plans to put him to death. It would be only 2 weeks later that he would be handed over to sinful men, beaten brutally with an inch of his life, and be nailed to the cross, where he would die to save all mankind from sin. But death would not have its way with Jesus. 3 days in a tomb was no match for Jesus, who is the resurrection and the life, which Jesus claimed for himself. Any amount of time in a tomb is no match for Jesus, who is the resurrection and the life, and he claims that life, and he gives it to you and all who trust and believe in him. Now, just because we believe in Jesus' miracles and believe that, have faith in him, does not mean we can comprehend his power over death and the grave. We cannot comprehend how we will be resurrected on the last day and what it's going to be like to live with him in eternity. But all these things of human reason really don't matter. What really matters is the promises that Jesus has made you in baptism. Jesus promised Martha and her brother that he would be raised from the dead, that her brother Lazarus would be raised from the dead, and he was. Jesus promised that he himself would be raised from the dead, and he was. And you have Jesus' promise as well. He says, because I live, you also will live. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, you have been given faith in baptism and through the hearing of God's proclaimed word. And you have the witness of St. Paul's Spirit-inspired words as he writes, we were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. Everything in this life has limits. We live in dying, frail bodies, bodies which have limits. But thanks be to God, you have Jesus' promise. All who are in Christ, for all who are in Christ, there are no limits, because you are no longer bound. St. Paul says, there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. He goes on to say, if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. We have an almighty Lord Jesus Christ in whose death and resurrection has declared victory over death and the grave. And when a loved one dies, you don't have to grieve as those who have no hope. Since Jesus has died and rose again, through Jesus, for his sake, God will raise all of those who die in Christ. You have Jesus' promise that the life of the believer does not end in death. You will be raised on the last day forever to celebrate the joy of life that we have in Christ Jesus, who is the resurrection and the life. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.